and welcome to the Naked Truth Podcast, the next evolution of the long-running YouTube series of the same name, the show that discusses life and all manner of topics in a most vulnerable state. Welcome, everyone. In this episode, we're going to talk about the internet. And when this original episode was recorded many moons ago, we had on a special guest. It was none other than Kinda Funny's own Greg Miller. Now, I will warn everyone ahead of time, when you listen to this vlog from many moons ago, Greg and I do talk a lot about the discomfort of recording this in the buff. But for those that never saw the vlog, everyone is naked in their own house. It's all recorded virtually. So it's definitely awkward, but it's not super scandalous or sexy. Really. Also, there is a language warning here. We get real. Anyway, okay, let's take a trip back in time and revisit the naked truth on the internet. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another Naked Truth. I'm Trisha Hirschberger here. Yes, I'm naked. Also, my hair's dry and I do have some makeup on, and that's because, I'll be frank, I had to retake the beginning of this video. I interviewed for the first time ever a boy on the Naked Truth, and I got nervous and had some technical difficulties. So this video will cut back into my actual interview with IGN's Greg Miller. Welcome, Greg.
Hi, I'm Greg Miller from the internet. Worked for IGN for 7.5 years, and then of course I have my YouTube site, Game Over Greggy, where we do a whole bunch of different content.
All right, now before we jump into this week's topic, I need to thank Steve, Jacob, Dominic, Eric, Romeo, Pat, Matthew, Lewis, Patricia, Michael, Lawrence, Julia, Prescott and Kristen, Kenny, Kim, and Richard for sending in their naked vlogs. You guys rock. I also want to thank Robert Gomez, who helped me reword that quote I was trying to figure out in a non-religious way. And Robert said, you can only love a person as much as you love the person you hate the most. And that's a good fix for it, so thank you.
Okay, so let's get back to Greg.
Hey, that's right, it's me. But thanks to all those people. Dang, you got a supportive community.
Yeah, the naked army is strong. You'd be surprised how many people are willing to get naked on the internet, like yourself.
Everybody's ready. I know, you didn't even ask me. I told you I needed to come on the show naked.
That's 100% true. I got a picture of a very sexy picture of Greg Miller shirtless, and he said, I want to get naked on your show.
Right, that was live from RTX in front of like 400, 500 kids, so yeah. Taking off my shirt is what I'm known for on the internet now.
I love it. Okay, so is this your first time being naked on the internet?
Yes, yeah. No, that's right, that's right. I've been close before. I have this show called Up at Noon on IGN, and one time on that we did a twerking joke where I wore these Japanese, like, basically panties my girlfriend had bought me.
And oh, my goodness.
When I came in and we did the scene where I twerked in them, I came out and I said, well, how was that? And my producer said, we're probably going to have to blur your bulge. And I was like, yeah, ha, ha, ha. And then they really had to blur my bulge because, like, when I'm bent over twerking, there was a lot of action and motion.
Oh, boy.
But that, see, even then I was wearing something as opposed to now.
As opposed to right now. Does it feel a little weird?
No, you make it pretty easy. You make it look easy. You do this all the time. I always see your videos go up. So it'll be weird if Colin opens the door. If Colin comes into the guest room here where we do the Game Over Greggy show, that would be weird.
That would be totally weird. And you know what? I do it because it still makes me feel weird. So it's nice to hear you say that I make it look easy. Because
the thing is, for you though, you have more to hide. Like, you know what I mean? I've just got to keep, like, I'm just letting it all hang out here. But, like, you know, down here is where the action is. You got to make sure. But that's a big berth. I got a lot of ground. Like, you know, I can cover here.
I'm actually more nervous because I have a boy on the show right now. Is that weird?
Really? Yeah, that's weird. It's not like I'm in the house with you.
I know. You're in your house. For the record, right. Greg's in his own house, everybody.
Yeah, you just see me in the background, like, talking. Like, we're back to back.
All right, so, Greg, let's get back to talking about the internet. Sure. And you can talk about nudity on the internet if you like. But what is the internet to you, as someone who's been in it for years?
Oh, man. I mean, the internet, for better or worse, is one awesome community, right? Like, I mean, there's all these undersides and horrible things to it when we talk about comments and, you know, trolling and all these different things. But when I think of the internet, right, I think of freedom, and I think of, like, I remember when it first came around and how it made such an impact on me, right? Like, I feel like I was always, you know, that token kid in my group of friends that was the nerd and loved comics and loved video games. And my friends tolerated video games and comics and would feign interest, but they liked different things. So I was that one nerd, and that's an isolating feeling, you know what I mean? And like, mm-hmm. you look at things like PAX or RTX, like, that's the chance for everybody to come together and celebrate being a nerd. And so I had Comic-Con and stuff like that, but even that, once a year is a, you know, a hard thing to have. And then when the internet came, like, I remember the first time I joined a, you know, Justice League role-playing group, and we'd go into chat rooms and pretend to be superheroes and talk, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm Superboy, so I'm doing this, and da-da-da-da-da. And like, that was an awesome feeling. And now it's something we all take for granted. It's definitely something you don't think that much about. But still, no matter how niche your interest is, there's a group out there ready to talk to you about it. And, you know, you can go to message boards and post and have it there forever. You know what I mean? Even if it's just something that somebody's going to check in once a month, they're going to find it and talk to you about what you love. And so I think the good still outweighs the bad on the internet. It's just what I was talking about, right, is that there's a vocal minority that is very mean and doesn't like things that I'll put on my YouTube channel or on IGN, right? And they go in the comments and talk about how much they hate me or whatever. And so when you only read that, it feels like they're winning. But in reality, there's this silent majority that, you know, doesn't come around. It comes around, consumes all your content, loves you, and then bounces. Doesn't say anything, doesn't comment, doesn't tweet. And then there's just these negative people who do.
Yeah. Okay. So, Greg, do you have a favorite website that you like to frequent?
I mean, yeah, it's evolved over the years, right? Like, I mean, to be a total hack, like, when I was on the outside of the video game industry, I loved 1UP. Like, 1UP was where I was okay. all about, because the community was so cool. You could go, and that's where I had my first blog, and that's where, you know, you could make groups and join them, and everybody would join your nerdy thing. Like, you know what I mean? I made a, you know, at the time, which I thought was ridiculous, made a fan club on 1UP for Portillo's Hot Dogs, this hot dog restaurant I love, Woo-hoo! That I would later go on to be a big part of, have my wiener dog name it after. But at the time, it was just this little thing, and it was so mind-boggling when we had, like, 20 members. I was like, this is awesome. You know what I mean? And so now,
all
of course,
that hot dog love coming together.
Well, that was the thing. If you're from the Chicagoland area, you know Portillo's and you love Portillo's. So it's that simple. You know, I shouldn't have been so surprised. And, of course, now they're going to be nationwide soon. Cross my fingers. So it'll be great.
We'll have them here in California.
Right. Well, there's one in Buena Park. Like, yes. I go there every chance I get. After E3, that's the pilgrimage afterwards. The next day, we all go to... Anyways, I'm getting off track. So then talking about, you know, I mean, right now, I mean, obviously IGN because it's my job, but I also still like the community we foster there. Same thing. Sure. A lot of blogs, a lot of great kids there. And then, of course, YouTube. I mean, the biggest site I visit every day, which is weird to say because it, to me, it doesn't even feel like a site, right? It's Twitter. Like, Twitter is this...
Totally.
I think I take for granted when I think about sites I go to every day, because I literally go to Twitter every 15 minutes at least.
Absolutely. Just... Yeah, I was going to say, as lame as this sounds for me, Facebook, but it's only because I live so far away from my entire family and most of my friends that I like to, like, stalk what everybody else is doing. So would you say there's a reason you prefer Twitter over Facebook?
Yeah, totally. It's the brevity. You know what I mean? Okay. The thing is, I'm lucky enough, so are you, right? We have this amazing fan base that wants to talk to us. And on Twitter or on Facebook, people will send you novels. They will send you so much information that it's impossible to read it and deconstruct it and give them a thoughtful response. Like, and so what I find myself doing is I get in these windows where I want to talk to you and I want to write back to you and I want to answer your questions, but you've asked too much. And so I say, I'll put that off and do it later. And then my Facebook inbox gets out of control. Whereas Twitter, it's 140 characters. You ask me a question, I can respond 140 characters and we're done. Not in a bad way, but in a concise way, point to point. Here's my answer. Here's your question. So on and so on.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have, like you said, the brevity. It's nice to have that so that you don't have any TLDRs from Great Aunt K and all that.
Right, yeah. I'm so, I can be responsive and quick and answer you and go and feel like I'm, you know, I feel like I get into my Twitter ads and I can plow through them and actually give you the answers you're looking for and give you the moment, the comment you want, whereas in Facebook, it's impossible.
Yeah. So do you have a least favorite website? Like, the bane of the internet lives here for you.
Oh, you know what? Like, the superficial... is funny. It's hilarious, but it's always one of those things, like, somebody will talk to me about The Superficial, or my girlfriend reads it once in a while, and you pop on there, and it's like, it's a funny site, don't get me wrong, but it's just always, like, their top 10 stories are just people in bikinis, and it's just one of those, like, is this what we are? Like, I hate this part of it, you know what I mean? And, like, don't get me wrong, I appreciate looking at good-looking people, male and female, but it's just, like, there's this, and a snarky comment, and they have, like, 14 action shots of Mila Kunis doing something in a bikini, and, like, they're like, look how dumb she looks in this, and I'm like, I look dumb in every photo. I don't like this. Don't be mean to people.
Be a nice person, Superficial.
Right. Come on. Change your whole site because you're being too snarky.
So speaking of being snarky and being a jerk on the internet, I hear from you that you like ending trolls. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I try not to. This was a big thing for my New Year's resolution of doing it less. Because what happens basically is, you know, there's like the bell curve when you're thinking, like, you know, internet popularity and like how much content you're making. And then like that's when the trolls really start to come out. And so
before... Is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
I'm working on it. I'll give you the exclusive when I get it all worked out. But like the more you do, the more people get angry and the more they want to talk crap at you. You know what I mean? And so...
Right.
I got used to it. Like as soon as I started at IGN, I reviewed this video game called Lair. I gave it a 4.9, and it was a Sony exclusive, and everybody wigged out. And that was the. I still have a little folder in my inbox of Lair hate mail that people.
Yeah, well, don't you dare disagree with me on the internet.
Right about this game I haven't played yet. Don't tell me this game I was totally looking forward to isn't that great because you are clearly wrong and I hate you and you should die. So I got used to that by trial by fire, but then. When Twitter came around, it got more personal, I felt like. You know what I mean? And like, it's one thing to sit there and be at home or in the comments on a giant article and say, oh, this person sucks, but to seek me out and at me and tell them, like, there was this one guy who's like, oh, you're such a fat cunt. Why don't you suck on a tailpipe and die? And I was
what
like, and
then, I'm
I
sorry,
know, no. I just said cunt, so it's fine. And so I clicked through his profile, and these are the ones that get me fired up, is I click through his profile, and he's like, I live in Manchester, England, and I'm an aspiring video game journalist. And it's like, how are you this short-sighted not to realize how small the internet is, you know what I mean? Like, how small the industry is, because for a long time, I kept a list on my phone of people that will never work at IGN. This person said this, and I will nail them. You know, if they
you know what? I totally have that list. Like,
right?
If I ever get the opportunity to work a job with these people, I'm going to insist that I won't work with them. There's a blacklist.
Have you ever run into somebody on the blacklist? Like, it's happened?
No, not yet. Have you?
Oh my God, yeah, it happened like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was one of the craziest things. Because like everybody knows how crazy I am about it, so I vet these people who apply for jobs, and like I go. Fucking crazy about it, where I'm at, you know, in quotes, everybody's names and reviews and IGN and sucks and yada yada yada. And this guy came up and he got in the rotation. I found it, and sure enough, he was talking crap on my Dead Space 2 review, which is like another polarizing lightning pole issue for fans and haters of me. And
well, you know what's funny? I Google searched Greg Miller naked specifically for this, and your Dead Space review came up.
Of course it did. Of course it did. It's like I'm known for chicken wings, video games, Dead Space, and Portillo. Like there's this thing in Oreos now. No, so sure enough, I find all this stuff of this guy talking trash about me, about IGN, all these different things. And so I just printed them out, put them in a manila envelope, and we went to lunch, and it was me, Damon Hatfield, and our editor-in-chief at the time, Casey Lynch, and then this guy who was interviewing. And so we sat down for lunch, we ordered the food, Damon and Casey are asking questions after question after question, and I'm not saying anything. And literally as they put the food down, Casey goes to me, he's like, Greg, you've been really quiet, do you have anything to ask? And I look this guy in the eye, just like I'm looking at the camera now, and I go, what do you think of me? And, like, there's this pregnant pause, and Damon's across from me, and I don't even break eye contact. Damon's across from me, and he goes, did you just say, what is he? And I'm like, yeah, what do you think of me? And the guy starts, he's like, well, you know, I enjoy your Up at Noon. Like, it's real funny. I'm like, what about my Dead Space review? And, like, all the color drained from his face. And he's like, you know, it was a while ago. I don't remember what I said. I'm like, oh, let me refresh your memory. And
boom, oh, my God.
On the table. And I read, and, like, this, it was over. Like, it was like this nuclear explosion. Because, like, it wasn't even... Then he was, you know, saying how much I sucked or whatever. He started like, oh, yeah, I haven't trusted IGN since X, Y, and Z. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, and, like, we had all eaten our food, and he hadn't even touched his. And I was like, I've done it. And I'll never forget walking there because I was shaking with adrenaline. Not, like, fear, but, like, I can't
believe. You were anxious.
This is finally happening. I am finally going to get to live the dream of going. Because everybody talks shit about IGN, it seems, at least once or twice, right?
Oh, whatever.
Your number, you know, people throw rocks at things that shine, right? You know, it's the same thing that. Coke doesn't talk shit on Pepsi. Pepsi talks shit on Coke.
Well, and if they're on your site in the first place enough to talk shit, obviously they're supporting your site.
Yeah, exactly. I love the people who show up in comments on every Up at Noon and tell me how bad Up at Noon is. I'm like, yep. Tell all your friends that it's terrible and that they need to come comment and tell me it's terrible too. Like, you're missing the equation here on how I judge success. You know what I mean? So there's that, but then there's just, random people who will... Like, for a while, I'd search my name in quotes, because, like, you know, a lot of cowards on the internet, they'll talk crap about you, but they won't at you. They'll just say, oh, Greg Miller's the worst. So I'd search for it and then find it and be like, hey, what did you not like? And then they back down. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was having a bad day, and I didn't even take it out on you. You know, there's all these different people. And there was one kid who I looked at. He tweeted at me again. So he called this down on himself. But he tweeted at me and said something about how I was terrible and fat and gay and all these horrible things about me.
Right.
And I clicked through on his, and his Twitter profile picture was him with a dead duck in his mouth, like he had gone hunting and then put the dead duck in his mouth. And then his information was a Bible verse, and it was like, you know, you search it and it's about being nice and kind and peaceful. And so I took all of his information and put it onto a blog where it was basically like, I'll say his name was, you know, John Doe. It was like, the title was like, Future Employers of John Doe, Atlanta, Georgia, because he was from Atlanta, Georgia. And then I kept putting that information in the blog post so that anytime somebody would Google him and where he was from, this would come up, showing what poor judgment he has and the fact that he wants to just take a shot at somebody he's never met before. We've never, you know what I mean? Like, all these different things that he thought this was an okay reaction to do.
Yeah, you're totally going to have to teach me how to do that to people, because I mean, we all try to not let the comments get to us, but
yeah.
There are times when, like, sometimes it just breaks through and there's nothing you can do about it, and just it enrages you. Like, you're mad at yourself for letting it get you mad.
See, the thing for me is that I always get mad when there's the hypocrisy on the other end. If you're just a dick, you're just a dick, and I don't care. But, like, when I click through and you have a Bible verse, there's this one time I click through, and it's another guy who's like, I'm an aspiring video game journalist, and he's in college. And so I took all his information and found out where he worked and what school he went to, and then emailed his dean with all this information. And I'm like, hey, you need to teach kids this isn't cool. Like, this is, they don't, you know, like, the excuse I always talk about in where I give the youngins the credit with it all, right, is the fact that, you know, when my girlfriend will watch the Kardashians or anything bad on TV, right, you're like, oh, this sucks. I hate this show. These people are so bad. And you say it and it's done. And then one time we were watching The Office, the second to last season, which was really bad, I thought, and I started tweeting something along the lines of, like, NBC needs to take at The Office out back and put it down. And my girlfriend saw me tweet it, she's like, type it, and she's like, yeah, that's right. But then I started deleting it. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is what people do. This is the disconnect. You know what I mean? Someone worked hard in The Office. All the actors worked hard to do their best performance. Like, it's not for me to, like, there's a difference between being like, oh, this show sucks, and me being like, hey, everyone, specific people who worked on it, I didn't like this. You know what I mean? Like, and like, there's a whole different vibe. The people yell at me when I tell the story of, like, well, you know, what I tell you I don't like Up at Noon, I'm trying to give you constructive criticism. It's like, no, you're not, motherfucker. The constructive criticism, right, is being like, this punchline didn't work. If you would have retooled it this way, it would work. This was the big thing with the Dead Space 2 review, right, is like, I wrote this Dead Space 2 review because my editor-in-chief at time was like, we're trying to do these, like, different personal reviews. So, you know, and I wrote it, and he's like, this is amazing. This is exactly what we want. It feels like you're talking to the audience. I'm like, yeah. And so we put it out, and then it went on Reddit the next day and exploded. And, like somebody, this is the first time I had ever learned about Reddit. Somebody came by, like, do you know you're the top post on Reddit? I'm like, what's Reddit? And I'm like, oh, it's bizarre. Oh, cool. And I go to it, and it's in the headline is, does anybody else think a middle schooler wrote IGN's Dead Space 2 review? And basically the first comment or first post was that. And then everybody's like, yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. And so I wrote a blog, and I was like, hey, man, here's my email. Like, give me constructive criticism. Tell me what's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, once that happened, like, only 20 people emailed me. There's, like, a famous image of this one guy who was a big dick and, like, went through and did all these different things. A lot of their things were, like, again, it was, like, they were, like, treating it like an AP science paper, right? Whereas I was like, it's a video game review. I'm going to talk. But, like, I don't mind engaging, and I know that I can learn and be better at something every time. I mean, you look at the YouTube videos we upload, right? Like, tell me how to edit audio better. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, there's
100%, yeah.
Yeah. But there's a big difference between, hey, this is what's wrong, and I don't like this because, and just, you suck.
Yeah, absolutely. I recently had someone in my comments section that was like, oh, Trish is a fake whore, and I know this. And someone else was like, how do you know? You don't know who she is. And he was like, this person's like, I know her in real life.
Oh, yeah?
And I commented, and I was like, oh, well, if you know me in real life, I'd appreciate it if you would come speak to me in person about it like an adult instead of hiding behind an anonymous username.
Right, right. That's always the big thing. Yeah. The other stories I always talk about, right, is the fact that, again, with the whole vocal minority, silent majority, is the fact that, like, people will talk crap about me, about IGN, about whatever, and then I go to every domestic show, you know, PAX East, you know, Comic-Con, yada, yada, yada. No one in 7.5 years has ever come up and been like, hey, man, I don't like what you do. You know what I mean? Like, and this is what's wrong with it. Everybody comes up and is so, like, blown away to meet me or see me or, you know what I mean, take a photo with me. And, like,
I mean, you are a huge deal.
No, yeah, I don't mean like that. No, shut up. I don't mean it like that. I just mean in the way that, you know, no one's ever, like, coming up and, like, trying to talk shit to you. You know what I mean? Like, they are all cowards, and they all, when you're in a real life situation, that's when it all balances out, right? Of like, mm-hmm. you would never walk up to somebody and say, eh, you're such a stupid, horrible things. And you know what I mean? You don't talk to people that way.
When and you should them. Probably die. Those
exactly.
are my favorite.
Yeah, of course.
You should probably die. Like, your whole family yeah. should just die. Because
you know
I
games,
agree with
die.
Your opinion in this one video.
Right.
You know.
It's a weird world. It's a weird job.
But the internet allows us so much freedom, and like you said, communication, and an open forum, and the ability to connect with other people. And, you know, I remember when the internet was a thing in my life, I just completely saw it as, this is a way for me to do the things that I'm not normally allowed to do.
Yeah.
Which I think is why you see so many people spewing those hate comments. Or, I mean, for me, sure. it was like, I'm not allowed to talk to strangers, but I can on the internet.
Right.
You know, I'm not allowed to read this kind of stuff, but I can on the internet.
Yeah.
So you get those people that are like, well, I'm not allowed to be a dick, but I can be on the internet.
100% true. Yeah, that's the big thing, right? And I think that there's always that freedom that comes with it, and that, you know, we're involved with mm-hmm. an industry that skews very young and brings in people who are young, and so they're back to where I was when me and my stupid friends would get on AOL and, like, find the sex chat rooms and go in there and be like, oh, my, what are these people talking about? I'll fake it. We're 35. Hello. You know what I mean? Like,
we all did that. Yeah, I was naked and 35 then, too.
Yeah. It's just, you know, now it's such a different landscape. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to do with, like, when I email the dean. I'm not emailing the kid to get him in trouble. I'm emailing them, like, he's in college and doesn't grasp the fact that there is no more anonymity, really. You are linked to everything forever, and people are going to check your Facebook posts and go through your photos and see these horrible things that you posted. And granted, it's crazy to think about, like, what, in two generations, the president will have had a Facebook. And, like, the amount of thing you're going to go through to find, like, you're not going to have to go back and be like, oh, well, that person made a mistake. You know, you remember when Clinton, you know, he smoked it, but he didn't inhale and stuff. And that was just a story. I mean, photos of that for the next president. And they'll never be able to get away from that. And, like, people need to understand what they're doing now impacts what they're doing later.
Absolutely. Well, it's like all those teachers that you see getting fired because they, like, took a naked selfie once or an underwear selfie once, and it's on the internet somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, I know we've been talking a lot about, like, the negative aspects of the internet, but good can be done there, too. And speaking 100%. Of that, Greg, are you familiar with the ExtraLife.org charity?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally familiar with ExtraLife. Great charity. Doc Adams. He's in charge of it.
Nice. Do you know him?
I do, yeah. We did it a few years ago. I organized it for IGN, and we did this giant live stream.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I know one of our viewers, one of our Naked Army members, Brent Sanchez, is doing an Extra Life this year, and he asked me if I would help spread the word, so I'm going to put the link to that down in the description. I'm also donating some autographed prints and some autographed t-shirts and stuff that are going to be prizes for the people that donate to his cause, so make sure you go check that out. And the question that we can ask, let's see, Greg, what do we want to ask the Naked Army this week?
About the internet. So we were talking about there's a lot of good. What's the best thing that's you've ever seen happen on the internet? What's the most heartwarming internet story?
That's perfect. Let's love the internet a little. We need to cuddle it after we kind of flogged
it. Talk about all the bad stuff, yeah.
So, Greg, thank you once again for joining us this week on The Naked Truth and being my first naked dude.
Yeah, naked dude. That's going to be my spinoff show.
The Naked Dude. Where can everybody find you on the interwebs?
Oh, you can find me, of course, at IGN.com, where I host a show called Up at Noon every Monday and a whole bunch of other crap. And then you can go to YouTube.com/GameOverGreggy, where I host all sorts of videos like The Game Over Greggy Show, filmed here on our luxurious set, and I also review Oreos there.
I've seen it. It's pretty good.
Thank you. If we ever get a DVD box set, I've seen it. I've seen it.
It's pretty good. But seriously, you guys should go check out Greg on his channel. Check out Up at Noon if you haven't seen it. But who hasn't seen Up at Noon? Come on, please. And make sure to suggest future Naked Truth topics in the comments section. And if you'd like to send in your own naked vlog and join the Naked Army, please feel free to do that. No private parts. From the shoulders up, only please. And thank you. And you can send that to me in the About section of my channel for business inquiries. Only you are my business inquiries. All right. Thank you guys so much. Thank you again, Greg, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
First of all, shout out to Greg's Justice League role-playing group at the dawn of the internet, because that sounds awesome. And I do love that we spent a lot of time, both kind of in the beginning of this conversation and the end of this conversation, really talking about the lovely parts of the internet. Being able to find your people was a huge, huge thing for me. And, you know, you heard Greg talk about what that meant for him. But I was pretty much an outcast in my small rural town where nobody liked the same stuff I liked. And when I heard that first dial-up tone for the first time and was able to get into chat groups where other people liked the same stuff I liked, it was mind-blowing. And to this day, one of the things I really do love the internet for is that ability to find your own people. Other things that are lovely about the internet include the ability to raise funds for a good cause, to raise awareness for good causes, to rally behind positive forces in the world. And that's all something that we can do now with the help of the internet. And I know we spent a lot of time kind of talking about the not so lovely parts of the internet as well. And, you know, like anything, like the dawn of any new technology, there are both, you know, positives and negatives to it. And it really is how culture adapts and uses it. It's interesting that, you know, Greg keeps talking about the silent majority that, you know, can appreciate your content if you're a content creator, or appreciate what you put out into the world via social media and not say anything about it, versus the vocal minority, which are incredibly vocal. And I don't know that that's the thing. I mean, as content creators, we would love to think that that's how it goes, that the, you know, very, very vocal minority or majority, I'm not really sure, but the very, very vocal people that are out there are hopefully not speaking for the majority of the people who view and watch your content, especially when those people are incredibly negative. But that's kind of what our brains do naturally, right? This is a psychological thing. If you hear 10 lovely comments and one that is really nasty, your brain kind of triages that to prioritize the nasty one. The fight or flight response in your brain determines, you know, how do we deal with this one, and tries to problem solve it, and naturally spends more time dealing with the negative comment, unfortunately. This is something that I talk about a lot with my other content creator friends, and have since I started doing this as a profession. And I think it's why it predominantly came up in this conversation with Greg from all these years ago, right? Because it's something that people definitely deal with. But I think even outside of content creators, if you're putting your opinions out there on the internet in any shape or form, whether it's a forum, whether it's a social media platform, you are going to deal with this to some degree. So I think that everybody can relate to this. And really, I mean, the question comes up over and over again, how do you deal with that negativity? How do you deal with the trolls, as Greg puts it? You know, for me, I tend to just ignore those people and mute them if there are moderation settings or muting settings that allow, because I do think that a lot of those people are simply looking for attention. They're looking to get a rise out of you. And if you respond, sometimes that just encourages them to do this more. However, I also believe that that kind of behavior should not go untested. There should be real world consequences to having actions like that. You know, which is why I loved, you know, Greg saying, don't put that out there. If you are hoping, especially to get hired in that industry, why on earth would you do that? Anything that you put out there, you know that someone can find that, whether it be something that could potentially halt your career goals or personal goals or whatever that is. I think people hide behind this keyboard anonymity, if you will, and think that they can do or say anything. So it does kind of make me a little happy when I see that there are real world consequences to those actions that people seem to take so flippantly. You know, I remember back in the day, Alana Pierce messaged someone's mom on Facebook, someone that was leaving really, really nasty and quite frankly, rape threats on her page, because she had a different video game opinion or was, you know, had the audacity to be a woman in games journalism. But they did it from their personal Facebook account. And on Facebook, it's really easy to find out who your family members are. And Alana just screen capped, you know, this message and sent it to the person's mom. It ended up making the news somehow. I don't know if the mom reported it or how it ended up making the news, but I thought that was a brilliant way to hopefully have some kind of real world consequences on that person. I do believe that there is a big difference between constructive criticism versus just being out to be a jerk, which is why on the Naked Truth vlog series on YouTube, I always said, you know, if I can tell that your comment is just you coming in to say something, drop the mic and get out of the conversation, that benefits no one but yourself. You're just patting yourself on the back, usually trying to be a jerk and leaving. Whereas if you say something in a way that encourages open dialogue, you know, you can definitely tell when people are actually there because they are invested in what you had to say and are looking to make an actual impact on what you're doing and what you're saying online versus the people who are just there to be mean or tear you down or kind of stand on a table and shout into the, you know, vast void that is the internet because they think that makes them awesome. They high five themselves and get out of there. And so when you see the people that are just being jerks saying, oh, you can't take constructive criticism, you always have to take that with a grain of salt. But I'm guessing that everyone listening to this podcast already knows that. But anyway, these are just kind of some of my thoughts on that matter. It is fascinating to me that Greg used to, and I don't know if he still does, keeps his internet blacklist. The people who have been really, really nasty online to make sure that they never get hired. Now, back in the day, Greg was working at IGN. Now he, of course, runs his own kind of funny media empire in games journalism. He's doing great. But I mean, that story about Greg calling that guy out in the interview, like that is harsh. But I don't know the full ramifications of what that person said. And it obviously left a very lasting impression. And when I talk about my own personal internet blacklist, it takes a lot to make the blacklist for me. And if it's someone that has, you know, repeatedly harassed me online, or there was one person that really came after me in multiple different formats, with what can only be described as harassment. It wasn't just nasty comments. This person was really coming after me professionally, personally, and contacting other industry folks to try to tell them how horrible I was in a professional sense. And it was really bad. This person actually did work at another media outlet, and their name is forever etched into my mind as someone I will never, ever, ever work with. And there are a lot of times in this industry that friends of mine call me to say, you know, hey, I'm thinking about hiring this person. What do you think of them? I would let my opinion be known. I don't know that I would do it in as epic of a way as Greg did with the going out to lunch and the manila envelope. I mean, he really set that scene very beautifully. but I would certainly make sure that my opinion was heard, and that would come back to bite that person in the butt. Because, you know, they decided to tear down someone who is continuing to work in this industry. So that's always just something to keep in mind, right? It's funny to me that all those years ago, Greg and I were talking about what is our most used social media platform, and I said Facebook? How embarrassing. Trisha, what were you doing? But no, I mean, for real, I do live far away from a lot of my family, and that was how I mostly kept in touch with my family at that time. Definitely, Facebook is not my most used platform anymore. In fact, I am rarely ever on it for personal reasons. I mean, the past like 3 years, my mom has been hounding me to post more photos of my family because she doesn't see enough of us, but I'm just never, never on it. But I thought that was hilarious. I would have to say now, as far as my use of social media and the internet, I probably prefer Twitch the most as my favorite platform because that just feels like hanging out with friends, followed by maybe Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and then maybe Facebook at the very bottom. I don't know. I don't really use TikTok or Snapchat, so they're not even on my list, although I'm trying to get better about TikTok. It's a work in progress. I will do a little bit more research probably. I'm always hesitant before I dive into making new types of content, and I do respect that there is an art form to really making short form vertical video content well, and I don't quite think I'm there yet, so I don't want to put out stuff that, you know, isn't up to my quality standards. But I will say, for those of you who love that platform, I'm working on it. Greg talked about how much he loved Twitter because of its brevity and that being the thing that kept him there, which is an interesting conversation to look at all those years ago, because now brevity is exactly why people are saying that platforms like TikTok and Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts and all of that are thriving because of that brevity. It's not the 20-minute YouTube video long-term investment. You can, you know, consume a full story, if you will, very, very quickly and move on. And that's really the direction that society has gone as far as how they like to consume their media on the internet. Just so fascinating to think about. And yeah, so that is the internet in a nutshell. Like I said, it can be used for good. It can be used for evil. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are very privacy minded on the internet when it comes to things being used for evil. I personally myself have had some privacy issues recently. So super not cool. I will throw that out there. If any of you put anything on the internet, of course, there is a possibility that someone with nefarious intent could find that internet. So always keep that in mind and be careful and take care of yourselves. And I know that Greg and I kind of left off the vlog from many moons ago asking for the most heartwarming thing you've ever seen on the internet. And when I think about that now, the thing that really makes my heart happy when I see it on the internet is when people rally to support anyone, but particularly kids going through a hard time, whether it's a bullying issue and standing up for the kid who was bullied in a very public way, or kids or folks who are struggling with illness or any other kind of life hardships. I love to see the internet rallying for good. Helping instead of hurting is always a good thing to see. So that's that. If you want to be part of the podcast moving forward, the next few episodes will be on fitness and police brutality. You can send in little audio messages through the Anchor platform that are then sent to me. If you want to do that, you can do that on anchor.fm/Trisha-Hershberger. And maybe, just maybe, you will hear your question or comment on those topics in a future episode. All right. Huge thank you to the official Anchor supporters of The Naked Truth and to all of those who are listening and sharing this with friends. You are the best, and I appreciate you so very much. And final thoughts on the internet. It's much like the Force. There's a light side and a dark side, and it's up to you to decide how to use it. This has been The Naked Truth. Thanks for listening.